The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Wonderful. Welcome and thank you for joining us on this blessed Easter day as we celebrate this gift of resurrection hope that has been offered to each and every one of us. Once again, we welcome many of our longtime members, many of our guests, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Dropping things are a few announcements before we get started. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to our CEC this week. They did a lot of good work in the midst of a busy week, but we had a great Easter egg hunt Saturday and a wonderful combined Sunday school this morning. We had some great resurrection rolls, so I'm very appreciative of all our CEC members who helped with that. Next Sunday, don't forget, as we speak of youth, we will have a Youth Sunday next Sunday. Kids can bring their toys to church, and then right after church, from about 11:30 to about 12:30, or whenever our kids get hungry, we'll have a little snack and a game that we can all play in afterwards. So we'll let some of our friends and guests pick out the newest game, but we look forward to continuing that this spring and summer. And don't forget, our anniversary of Schönbrunn Village is right around the corner, Tuesday, May 3rd. We will celebrate the 250th anniversary. You won't want to miss out. We had a beautiful Easter sunrise service there today, and I'm always touched that we have people coming from Columbus and Cleveland and all these different areas to be a part of it. And I think well over 100 people, if I did the math correctly. But you want to be there as well for our anniversary. And then two Sundays from now, we will have Justin Robach, the president of the Board of World Mission, here in worship. And then after worship, from 1 to 3, he'll be giving a presentation on the works of what the Board of World Mission actually does. Bishop Chris Giesler will be here for that as well. We'll have some light refreshments and snacks available for that event. And then new members, or people who just want to learn about Moravians or what the Moravian Church is like, we are starting that class at 9:15 in the Fellowship Hall next Sunday. That's going to go on for about 3 weeks. So this is for anybody who's interested in learning about the church, or maybe you're somebody who's been a longtime member and you'd like to freshen up on what do Moravians think about this? What do Moravians think about that? You're encouraged to join us for that class, and we welcome anyone to be a part of that. And then Tuesday, our trustees will meet at 6:30. And then the last note I want to share with you is just a reminder that starting today on Easter Sunday, we will allow Mass to be optional for singing as well. We still encourage those of you who are singing to space out when you can and use your space to the best of your ability. And we still want to really leave that reminder with you that we are very fortunate to have numbers that remain incredibly low. And we pray it remains that way, but this pandemic, as all of us know, has been dynamic. So if high cases return, unfortunately, at some point, we might have to change our policies on masks and other things. But we appreciate your flexibility, and right now, let us just enjoy the point where we are right now and celebrate on what God is doing in the midst of this pandemic. That's all I have for announcements right now. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Luke chapter 24, verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join to sing, "Jesus Christ is risen today."
Proclaim it to the ends of the earth.
The Lord has set his people free.
By God's great mercy, we are given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading.
Praise, honor, glory, and power to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb, forever and ever.
Jesus was handed over to death for our sins,
and was raised to life for our justification.
Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship, can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us.
For we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come,
nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live, and if we die, it is for the Lord that we die.
So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died, rose from death, and lives again in order to be Lord of the living and of the dead.
We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died or to grieve over them as others who have no hope.
For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.
What we are saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
What is sown is perishable,
is raised imperishable.
What is sown in dishonor
is raised in glory.
What is sown in weakness
is raised in power.
What is sown a physical body
is raised a spiritual body.
Thus the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Please rise. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on of things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God.
God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant.
Make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will, working among us all that is pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. We will hear from God's word from Scripture. I do have one note. I flipped the Scriptures in the bulletin. We will hear our psalm first, Psalm 118, and then from the Gospel of Luke.
The Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2. And then continues with verses 14 through 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done many things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Then the gospel lesson is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wandering around about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember, he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all those things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Amen. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. As we give thanks to the blessings God has given us, we uplift the concerns and we come together as a community of prayers. First and foremost, we give thanks in celebration for Easter. And I think the words of our hymn, "Sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord," always go through my mind when we're at Schoenbrunn Village. For us, the Lamb was slain. We are invited into this gift of resurrection joy. So as talking about that, we once again want to uplift the names of people we celebrated who were welcomed into life eternal this past year. And for the sons and daughters from our congregation, we celebrated the life of Benjamin Baker. At this time, are there any names of people that you would like to uplift who are welcomed into resurrection this glory? If so, Please share them now. We uplift the prayers of our hearts as well at this time. And we uplift the prayers of our world. We continue to keep Ukraine in our prayers as their people struggle and deal with an invasion from Russia. And we pray for the peace of their people and for their refugees, that we may bring solace and peace to them during bleak times. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Kelly Lauber after her passing last week. She fought a 3-year courageous battle against brain cancer. We pray for her husband, James, and their 2 children. They are neighbors of Ross and Tiff Swallow. We also uplift in prayers this week Corey Gorby, Melanie Hahn, Janice McGlincock, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Michelle Stevens, Michael, Brenda Greenwood, Gail Slater, Clara Gorby, Ryan Castor, Linda Bennington, Jackie and Amy Pasquinelli, COVID-19 victims. In prayers of joy this week, we uplift today that somebody, it's not only her birthday, Allie Baker, but she also passed her boards at the hair salon. Allie's not here to share in her birthday blessings, but she said if you mentioned at Just For You Hair Salon, Pastor Ben is amazing, you automatically get a 10% discount. So, and she's not here to debate that, so that's wonderful. But we rejoice with her. Let us come to God and pray. Gracious God, we come before you in Easter, in the gift of Easter resurrection hope in our hearts. And we listen to the sounds of beautiful children in our sanctuary, and we know that is you speaking to us, reminding us that for each and every one of us, from the babes of infants to the oldest people, we know that this gift is given for each one of us, this gift of resurrection, hope, and new life. So help us, because we are recipients of this wonderful miracle, to not take it for granted, to spend each day in thanksgiving for the gift of your salvation and eternal love for each of us. And gracious God, we continue to pray for our world because we know there is still so much hurt and pain and struggling and suffering in our midst. But we know, God, that you are with every single person who is struggling right now. And help them to know that no one, no matter what difficult battle they are facing, is ever alone. So help us be like the disciples on that first Easter morning, to be full of awe and amazement and wondering and full of questions, and just help each and every one of us truly celebrate that the Lord is risen indeed. Amen. At this time, we turn to our offering. We will not be passing a plate up and down the pews. There is a plate in the back for anybody who would like to make donations in person. We thank all of you who continue to give on scmchurch.org, and we encourage you to continue to look for opportunities where we can serve in our community and throughout our community, as we truly want to be the hands and feet of Jesus throughout this world. This time, I invite you to stand as we join together in the offertory hymn.
Grace.
gift of your sacrificial love. May we give with charity, mercy, and love to our neighbors in need.
Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for our children's chat. Sorry, Linda, we're going to scoop up around you. Will we? How's it going, Reese?
Good.
How's everybody doing this morning? Who's excited for Easter?
Me.
Yeah? Yeah. So what we're going to talk about are some different symbols and signs of Easter. So I'm going to ask you guys to help me through the Easter story. And we're going to look at these symbols and see how they help us through this story. So who would like to open our first egg? Jaden, you want to open our first egg? What's in our first egg? Coins, 30 cents. Can anybody know why we start this story with 30 cents? This could be a tough one. We start with 30 cents because that's what Judas betrayed Jesus with, for 30 pieces of silver. That's all he started. And so we remember that one of Jesus' friends started that journey just for 30 pieces of silver. Who wants to go next? Aubrey, we'll let you go next. What's in there? Can you hold those up for everybody? What? Why would we have sticks in there? What does that symbolize for the resurrection? James? The cross, absolutely. That's an excellent answer. We remember that Jesus was crucified on the cross, and he carried a cross for each and every one of us. Who wants to open the third egg? Reese, you go for it. A rock. What's another word for a rock? Reese?
Stone.
Why do we have a stone? Aubrey? The tomb. They sealed the tomb of Jesus with a stone. And who wants to open the fourth one? Brandon, here you go. A nail. What do we have a nail in there for? Peyton? Yeah, he was crucified on the cross. So we have a nail right there. And our second to last one, who wants to open that one? Tyler, we'll give you one. What is that? Cloth. Why do we have cloth? They covered them with cloth. And in Luke's version of the gospel, all they saw was the linen cloth right there that reminded them that the tomb was empty. And who wants to open our last one? Wayne, you want to go? Absolutely. Well, what's in there? Nothing. Why do you think there's nothing in there?
There might be because
they saw nothing inside the tomb. And this is a very important egg. Because when you think of anything in your life, any trouble you have, and I want you to think, is there any trouble in this world that God can't help me out with? I want you to think of this egg. Because why? There's nothing that God can't help you with or be with you in this life. So that's what we remember on Easter. Not only did Christ raise from the dead miraculously, but he also showed the entire world that there is nothing that can separate him from his love for us and for everyone. Will you guys pray with me? Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids and please remind them that you provide us with so much love this Easter season. And help each one of us realize that the tomb is empty for each and every one of us. And we get to celebrate in the gift of your resurrection joy and resurrection life. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. And before you go, we get to celebrate that on Christmas we technically give you a red and white candy cane, but on Easter we're going to get a little more colorful, because remember, Jesus was transformed for each and every one of us for the resurrection. So here's a little Easter candy for all of you. Ooh, Willa's ready. She's got her eyes ready. Absolutely. Anybody didn't get one yet? And if you want, you can put the eggs right back there. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to get him another one. I'm going to say, you can have a mint if you want. Anybody wants a mint? All right, go in peace. Sorry, Ensley, I think you're a little too young for your mint, but Katie, if you want. Go for it. At this time, I invite you to stand as we sing one of our old favorites, On the Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
Before I jump into our message today, I want to make sure I honor all the wonderful people who provided our church with Easter flowers this week. I want to give thanks to Becky Canfield, McKenna, and Jacob Cannon in memory of Ted and Catherine Canfield. For Mary Ann Creel in memory of Jim Creel, Myron and Mildred Creel, Earl and Marie Tisdale. For Norman and Cheryl Codry in memory of Bob and May Fainer, Isabel Aaron Castor. From Jim and Linda Karcher, in memory of Albert and Mabel Karcher and Willie Gardner. From John and Stacy Castor, in honor of their children, Ryan, Tyler, and Brandon, and also in memory of Isabel Castor. From Chloe and Paige Martin, in honor of Janie Martin and our church family, in memory of Dean and Margaret Renner and Ed Martin. From Doug and Angie Miller, in memory of Melvin Yoder, Wallace Miller, and Willie Gardner. From Floyd and Delene Swinderman, in memory of Linda Bonnell and Joe Northrup. From Millie and Randy Weston, in memory of Howie Weston. We remember all these things and give thanks that their legacy still carries on with each of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our heart, our minds, and our ears to the words you have to say to us. Inspire us to carry your gift of resurrection truth into our lives and into our world. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So some of you may be delighted to know that this Easter Sunday is not a time for a deeply theological message. It's not a time for me to quote fancy religious scholars or to bring up the important Greek syntax in the gospel lesson. It is time to simply breathe in an awesome and profound miracle that touches our hearts in a way that our minds simply can't comprehend. The Lord is risen indeed. The angels in dazzling cloths are directed and to the point. Luke 24:5 said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." One simple question and one simple answer, and it completely changes how the disciples of Christ saw the world. It changed their priorities. It changed what they value. And I want us to think about that, because think of how profoundly this pandemic that we've experienced this past 2 years, how that has changed how we view the world. It has hopefully taught us to appreciate the little things in life. Being able to hug and visit friends and family. For our kids, being able to go to school where we can learn and hang out with our friends. In our sanctuary today, being able to hear wonderful hymns resound throughout this sanctuary is a beautiful gift indeed. And I can tell you today, I know, like many of you, I'm not taking that gift for granted, because it sounds wonderful. So hopefully, this Easter, God is slowly transforming us from people that are glued to 5, 10-year, and 20-year plans, to people who can enjoy the simple things in life, like a nice sunset or the sounds of birds chirping in the morning, a sanctuary being alive but with children. God is transforming us from people focused solely on the result or the goal to people who enjoy the journey to the destination. God is encouraging us right now to slow down and stop and smell the roses. A wise author said, "The simple things in life seem more meaningful now." I agree. I agree wholeheartedly that the simple things in life seem more meaningful. And you know something? The disciples experienced something far more disorienting and impactful than this pandemic. They saw their friend, their teacher, and their leader die a tragic and painful death. Then 3 days later, he did something completely unthinkable. He rose. And I love Peter's reaction at the end of this passage. Listen to Luke chapter 24, verse 12. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what happened. Amazed at what happened. And I just picture Peter sitting in that empty tomb, holding on the grave clothes of Jesus for dear life, and just sitting there, paralyzed by a perplexing feeling of awe and amazement that he felt throughout his entire body. Think about that, being so overwhelmed with emotion in that moment that you physically couldn't move. And I think that's important, an important reminder and a humbling reminder for us as followers of Jesus. Doubt, awe, and questions, those are an important part of our discipleship journey. Theologian Paul Tillich said, "The opposite of faith is not doubt. It is certainty." Let me say that again. The opposite of faith is not doubt. It is certainty. It's thinking you have God perfectly figured out. And I think God would prefer us to sit with the resurrection of Jesus just like Peter did in that moment. Sit with the stunning, unbelievable reality of God's miracle and just be driven by wonder. Did that really happen? Wasn't he just in some type of coma or stupor or medical miracle? Did Jesus truly defeat death that day? Did Jesus truly defeat sin that day? Because if you believe that the answer to those questions are yes, that Jesus did defeat those things, for if the resurrection of Jesus is real to us, it has to change everything. It should change what we view about life. It should change what we view about death. It should even change how we look at ourselves in the mirror every morning. That's how serious and profound this is. And Christ would prefer us to wrestle with this difficult question rather than give Jesus kind of that false praise and golf clap. Nice job, Jesus. Way to go on your resurrection. But it's, what, 11:15 right now, and we need to get out of here before they steal the tomb on that breakfast buffet at Dutch Valley, so the pastor better hurry it up so we can get out of here moment. No, Jesus would rather you feel that deeply and profoundly. So brothers and sisters, if we truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus, it needs to change us. It needs to change us to our core and alter our perception of the world. Because if we are believers of the resurrection, it should call us to be more merciful people. It should call us to be more loving people. And it should certainly call us to be more hopeful people. Because if Jesus can defeat the shame of the cross, there is no burden or hardship that God can't walk us through. As our children showed us with that empty Easter egg, there is nothing that God can't help you with in this world. So we, as believers of God, we become optimistic believers, almost to a fault. Because Jesus defeated death, the greatest triumph in human history. So why wouldn't God guide us in this world to defeat a pandemic? Why wouldn't God guide this world to defeat an even evil Russian dictator? Why wouldn't God guide this world to continue to grow into being a more loving and caring creation? This is God's world, and God is good. So when we truly accept the resurrection of Jesus in our hearts, hope can never die. Hope is reborn. Hope can never die. Hope is reborn. And one of my favorite theologians and ministers, Desmond Tutu, said it like this: good is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours through him who loved us. The Lord is risen indeed. And that is the simple and profound truth we carry with us as we leave this sanctuary and we leave our households today. That truth changed the course of human history ever since the question, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" was ever uttered. History changed. Now it is time for a wonderful and miraculous truth to change us and how we view the world. It is time for a risen Savior to implant in us a resolve that good will always defeat evil, and hope lives through him who loved us. Hope lives through him who loved us. That is the simple truth we breathe in today. That God sacrificed his one and only Son for each and every one of us. And eternal hope and the gift of salvation lived through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen indeed. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, open up our hearts and just remind us that this is a special day. It is not an ordinary day, but a day where we celebrate your resurrection gift and resurrection glory. But help us to remember this is not a moment where you beat your chest, but you showed us the meaning of sacrificial love. So help us to be your followers, your disciples who proclaim and most importantly live out that gospel truth in our hearts, our minds, and our actions. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in our closing hymn. Sing hallelujah, praise the Lord. And minds in the knowledge and love of God and of the Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the name of Jesus, amen.